Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. An Embellus and Burmese film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We never let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks. 80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes. Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizers, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer, and I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight. Anyway, Dr. Prepper will be our guest today, and if anyone else wants to jump in, you can definitely do so. We will be here. Call-in number, if anyone wants to be a part of the show tonight, is 347-324-3704. So come one, come all, I suppose. Everybody can jump in. And Dr. Prepper, I see you there. You're my only guest today, so whenever you feel like coming in, whether it's now or next hour or the third hour, I'm on your schedule today. Anyway, some interesting things I wanted to go over today. And the one I wanted to pull up from yesterday, I'm going to go ahead and drop this in the freedomizerradio.com chat room. And I will also, let me post this in my spy book. And I know at some point I have to find an Obama story so I can make Terrell in Tampa happy. All right, let me drop this link here, and as soon as this goes in, I guess I can start talking. It has to do with the robot industry. And there we go. And so what I'm starting with today, and I'm reading from the London Telegraph, one of the bigger newspapers in London. Killer robots are a small step away and must be outlawed, says a top UN official. And we're at a point in our world, and this is me before I read the article. We're at a point in our world where we can make robots that make other robots. And once Earth's population dwindles for whatever reason, you're going to have more of a Futurama-type society where robots are probably half the population. And the elites will be happy about that because the robots, they don't need, if you're going to put in a bunch of robots to make cars, and at that point, I don't think they'll be making as many cars, but what do I know? But anything the elites want, whether it's to build a house, whether it's to do electrical or plumbing stuff, you're going to have all these robots that will be replacing people, and the robots don't get paid. Robots don't ask for breaks. They don't sit down and go to the bathroom for 15 minutes. The robots just do their job, and that's it. And so they say here in this article that killer robots are a small step away. And there are people that have made, and I don't know what firm here, it doesn't really specify. For all we know, it could be DARPA. But killer robots programmed to open fire without human control are just a small step from the battlefield, and military powers should agree to outlaw them, a top UN official has said. Angela Kane, the UN's high representative for disarmament, said governments should be more open about programs to develop the technology, and she favors a preemptive ban before it's too late. And she says, any weapon of war is terrible, and if you can launch this without human intervention, I think it's even worse. It compounds the problem and dehumanizes it. it becomes a faceless war, and I think that's really terrible. And so in my mind, I think it should be outlawed. The decision is really in the hands of the states who have the capability to develop them. And I agree with that as well, because you're going to have a situation where instead of having troops, you're just going to have robots. And so the robots on both sides, they will not kill each other as far as I know, but the goal would be to have robots as well as drones do all your fighting for you among the people. So you'll have robots killing men, women, and children. It's not like you're going to have many of the military get shot because, of course, your military is robots. And I guess I'm just not a fan personally of having everything, including military, just go straight to the robot era. Not that I necessarily want to see troops out there either, as far as military goes. I'm not a fan of having a human army or a robot army. I do believe that you should have enough of a military to be able to defend yourself, but I don't think that a military was meant to be in 38 countries at the same time trying to give people their freedom. But then again, what do I know? And just adding to the drones that were discussed earlier this year, and so you'll have driverless drones, which will be one person on a big screen, smell-o-vision or a computer screen, directing the drone, which will have nothing in it except weaponry. And then you have robotic troops on the streets. I'm not interested. Getting back to this article here, there's a paragraph that says, Mrs. Kane. I think I read it a minute ago, and Angela Kane, that's it. She says the concern relates specifically to weapons that have the capability of selecting and also attacking targets without human intervention. Who has the responsibility and who has the liability? She says many developing countries are worried that such weapons may be used on their territory, just like piloted drones have been in recent years. And Mrs. Kane goes further to say, I personally believe that there cannot be a weapon that can be fired without human intervention. I do not believe that there should be a weapon ever that is not guided and where there is not the accountability clearly established by whoever takes that step to guide it or launch it. I do not believe that we could have weapons that could be controlled by robots. Militaries are making increasing use of robots, from bomb disposal machines to armed, remotely piloted drones carrying out missile strikes. Israel is experimenting with border patrol robots, and America has trialed them in Iraq and Afghanistan. Hey, I'm okay with watching the border. I guess anything we can have on the southern border, I'd be in favor of. I said before, a couple years ago on the show, at least if the Border Patrol is going to get in trouble for apprehending immigrants, for lack of a better term here, then if the Border Patrol gets in trouble for doing their job, why don't we just put scarecrows out there on the border? I mean, it works for the birds, I guess. This way, Everybody's happy. The illegals can come up here at will. The United States military can pretend that they have a force that can keep everybody out, to keep the masses coming. Of course, the birds won't be happy, but the military won't have to pay anybody. They just put scarecrows out there. Point, might as well. All right, I want to stay with technology here for just a split second. And I wanted to discuss, I don't know if you guys know or not, but China is working on a super submarine for travel. And I'm going to drop the link in the chat room here, and I'll throw it in my spy book. I do think this is pretty cool, though, I'm going to have to admit. And I'm reading from Newsmax, by the way. But China, like I said, is working on a supersonic submarine. And they're talking about an air bubble theory that China's working on. And it's called super... Sorry, there's a lot of letters in a row, and I'm usually good with pronouncing things. Supercavitating. Okay, supercavitating. This theory is being developed into new technology by scientists at the Harbin Institute of Technology's Complex Flow and Heat Transfer Lab. And according to the South China Morning Post, it will allow a submarine to reach supersonic speed underwater. This air bubble technology would allow a submarine to travel from Shanghai to San Francisco in less than 2 hours if the technology can actually pull off. This technique was actually developed for Shakval, a torpedo capable of reaching 230 miles an hour, that was developed by the Soviet Navy during the Cold War. The size of the bubble and the speed were limited, but now this new Chinese research claims they have found a way to generate a much bigger air bubble, drastically reducing friction of large underwater vessels. They say they could create a full-size supercavitating submarine capable of reaching the speed of sound underwater. Li Fengchen, the Harbin's Institute Professor of Fluid Machinery and Engineering, tells the China Morning Post that his team's approach would create an air bubble required for rapid travel underwater. Mr. Feng Chen explains that water creates friction and drag, but the theory of surrounding an object like a submarine with a bubble eliminates the friction problem water causes. One of the major hurdles for this technology is that the vessel would have to be launched at a high speed to maintain the air bubble. Scientists tell the South China Morning Post that a second problem with current technology is that this bubble cannot be maintained if it is steered in any direction. So what this means is that this bubble will only go one straight line, and it's not really guided anywhere. I guess later on, after this is proven successful, I'm sure that they might be able to figure out alternate lines. But I will have to say it is pretty cool to think that they finally come up with a way to travel underwater and to do it quickly. I happen to think it's cool to be be able to go from China to San Francisco in 2 hours. Personally, I wonder if this would hurt the airline industry, but at this point, I don't really care. I don't know what the TSA would be like at that point either. But just think of how much time that saves. I just think that would be, I think that would be pretty awesome. Just think, if this works, you can go from Hawaii to San Diego maybe in about 30 minutes. Maybe you can go from, maybe you can go from Russia to Mexico in an hour. Who knows? But I believe this is cool, and this is something I'm interested in. All right, here, let me do this. Let me grab a break real quick here, since it's about the 30-minute mark. And when we come back, if anyone wants to be a part of the show tonight, I can definitely do that. If not, we'll take some time here and go over news. We have Dr. Prepper at the top of the hour. All right, we'll be right back.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath Hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
There is a new program on the Freedomizer Network, Bloody Beak Radio, punching the New World Order in the nose. Bloody Beak Radio is here to inform you on a wide variety of topics revolving around current and recent events. The main thrust of the show is not just to inform you of the problems we face, but rather, how do we analyze them in a way that we can use to create counter-propaganda and use that knowledge in our everyday lives. in a sense, how do we market the truth? Bloody Beak Radio will give you the tools to win the information war so we can destroy the barriers that divide the people and have a peaceful revolution. Join your host, Kyle Baker, on Sunday evenings to have an honest discussion about how to win the numbers game and ensure that we decide the tipping point, not them.
All right, guys, we're back. Proof is here, and we have Dr. Prepper next hour, and I have Lauren Stevens calling in. Lauren heard the bat signal, I guess, and decided to take us up on our good offer.
That's right. How
Welcome
are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm adequate, I guess.
Just adequate tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm usually around a C-plus to a D-plus.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Before you called in, I was talking about this this air bubble submarine that China's coming up with, that you would go from Shanghai to San Francisco in about 2 hours underwater on a supersonic submarine.
Really? That's not good.
I don't know. This is the kind of stuff I'm interested in. I think it would be the coolest thing. Of course, I'm not going to be on the first 5 or 10 test runs, but I'm sure at some point, if it becomes popular, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Just think, you can go from Russia to Mexico in about an hour. Are you still with me, or is my audio sucking again?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
Hey, is that submarine already, what's the deal on that?
All right, they're talking about, they invented it, but I guess they're in the testing stages right now.
Oh, interesting. Well, on a very sad note, did you know that Joan Rivers is in a coma?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. That's the first news I've seen today, believe it or not. That's the first thing. Hey, what's going on over there in your state with the lieutenant governor situation, that race? Are you keeping track of that?
The lieutenant governor or the actual governor?
What's that?
Are you talking about the lieutenant governor or the regular governor?
You have all your windows shut, right?
All right. I was trying not to shut the computer off because I have a guest coming in, but I guess there's some things I can shut down. All right, how about now?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
All right. Yesterday I got busy doing tech support for my Zune and not calling Vonage, so I don't know what happened.
Oh, is that what
there.
You're doing? Okay, that's probably
no,
why.
No, I'm not.
All right.
I'm not doing either right now.
You're not on Vonage right now?
Oh, I am on Vonage. It's my only phone.
Oh, okay.
But I need to call them for tech support because whenever I call them, they say, oh, you sound great.
Well, yeah, of course they're going to say that.
Well, they don't ask me to repeat myself every few seconds.
Well, you know, if you go back and listen to your podcast, you can probably hear that you can't hear. Hey, what about the thing going on in California, those massive welfare overpayments. Did you hear about that?
No, I sure didn't.
Really? Just found $848 million in overpayments to their child work program, which I guess is just kind of like, you know, your monthly welfare check or something, I guess.
Oh, so they're paying out too much.
Yeah, it's overpayments. So it's overpayments. There was an administrative error, and it says over half of the identified overpayments were recovered. But still, you wonder, how did that happen? And, you know, in this state and some other states, but not all states, when you apply for these types of benefits like Medicaid, food stamps, food share, whatever they call it, welfare, you know, cash welfare payments, they have some kind of anti-discriminatory measures, and it says right on the form, you can see all this stuff online, it says if you don't have a Social Security number or birth certificates, that they're not allowed to discriminate against you, that you can still get the benefits, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, pretty upsetting that we all know what that means. And you probably heard that Jerry Brown, our governor, has said that all the illegals are welcome. This is now a sanctuary state officially. So if you're illegal, you can come here and get a driver's license. You can get a law license and take the bar. You can register to vote, although you're not supposed to. I did discover that it was very easy to register to vote online, and in fact, my son had just registered to vote online, and he has a, as you know, very Hispanic name because he is Cuban, and so he did the thing online, and then they sent him something through the mail. He never filled it out and sent it back in, but yet he still got an absentee ballot in the mail. We didn't even ask for one. So that's just very upsetting to know that I think there's probably a lot of illegals that may believe that it's okay for them to vote. I mean, hey, if the voter, if the elections department people send you a ballot, wouldn't you kind of think, okay, I must be all right to vote? I mean, if you did nothing wrong, if you just went online, filled out the voter registration form, and you get a ballot in the mail.
Yeah, I just want to understand here why the Barry Satoro, well, I understand why. I guess I'm just throwing a question out there knowing the answer, but what is so important about making sure that illegals can vote without any ID?
You know, to be honest with you, where we are in this country now, the ID just really means nothing. Everybody's got ID, and that's just such a non-issue. I don't know why Republicans go on and on about it. You know, they act like it's a big deal. It's not. Illegals can get a driver's license pretty much any day of the week, legally. And
yeah,
all you need in order to register to vote is last four digits of your driver's license number. And, the last four digits of your social, which, as we all know, they have these taxpayer ID numbers instead of Social Security cards. I mean, there's just no verification going on. So the ID thing just does not matter. There's no ID. I mean, nobody asked for my kid doesn't even have an ID yet. Nobody ever asked him for it. And again, I think this is the biggest problem. I've said this for years. I've said this probably since 2007, 2008. I think the biggest problem in the whole voting system is not the ID, it's the whole registration process. Because if these people don't register, then they're not fraudulently voting, but they make it easy to fraudulently register to vote. you know? I mean, what about all the absentee ballots? How do you show ID for that, you know?
Right.
You don't. So what good is voter ID? It's a joke, and it's just more bullshit that the Republican Party is trying to push, and I really don't know why, because it's...
Well,
there's
somehow
so many
there's
other
people
things.
That believe, Lauren, that as long as these people get voting abilities, that they'll keep voting Democrat. And, by the way, I'm going to open the microphone here to a caller. We have Terrell from Tampa joining us, so the three of us will be online here for a little bit. Welcome in, Terrell.
Hi. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm going to say that I'm not going to complain. But I'm calling to say that the reason why we're doing it is so they can vote left. What other reason would it be for them to vote Democrat? Look what they did. They brought buses of people over here that could not even speak English. They had no idea why they were going to the voting booth. They didn't know who they were voting for because they couldn't speak English. They were just told who to vote for, and that was that. I'm sure I know I didn't vote not one time for that bastard, and I know my name was probably put up there to vote, and I have not voted since Clinton. So
uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure my name was thrown in the box, too, you know. She's not going to vote. Well, we're going to vote anyway. Yeah, sure. I'm pretty sure a lot of us that did not vote at all were in there. And so that's the only reason I can see they're doing it. And so they know what requirements there is to vote, and they're making sure they have those requirements.
Well, it's easy in every state that I know of, at least, to go online to the voter. You know, every state has something different. I know Wisconsin is called Government Accountability Board. In South Carolina, gosh, I forget what it's called. I mean, every state has some kind of voter registration thing. You can go online, put in your name, your address, usually your date of birth, sometimes your social or left for, or some kind of other identifying thing, and it'll tell you which elections that you voted in. So if you know that you did not vote in that election, then, you know, somebody's
oh,
using your
name.
Oh, I never
knew that existed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Misused my name. Yep, there's about seven people with my name, I mean, first, middle, and last, here in Florida. So I'm sure they just took all seven of those and they made them vote. Oh, yeah, all of us voted. If they think I'm Spanish, it's a Spanish name, they think I'm Spanish. So I get all kinds of Spanish mail and, you know, so yeah, I guess they'll get me to vote, too. They did not come around here with that garbage that got on my nerves last time with Obama. I don't know what they're going to say around this time for this particular president, Democrat. I don't know who they're going to sit around this time. They said hoochies around for Obama with their little short shorts on, these tight, little tight pants they got on. Honey, how are you representing something like that? But then you are representing something like that. So, yeah, I can expect you to come around here to my house looking like that. What makes you think I'm going to vote for that?
Well, if I can interject here, I want to share a different news story real quick here. But there's illegals coming over that in Massachusetts, you have grown people with gray hair, bald. They're obviously senior citizens, but they're enrolling in public schools.
Give me stress. I know
so I guess they want to learn English and all that and not have to pay for it, so.
Oh, okay. I know our schools here are overwhelmed with children, overwhelmed. And they're telling the parents now, oh, well, your child may not get the best attention now because classrooms are full again. We know why. I mean, they showed them on the news. We know why classrooms. So I suggest parents just get with their kids because, you know, these classrooms are going to be full and overwhelmed as they had been before, but even more so now with billions coming across the border. They're going to have to be educated and all that so they can vote when they get old enough, you know. Give me stress.
Well, let me ask either of you this. So if you have someone that's, say, 52 years old, and they're registered for a local middle school, and they're out grocery shopping during the day instead of being in school, can they be busted for truancy?
Well, if they're enrolled as a student, how would they get enrolled in a school?
I'm reading here that they were told from the Department of Justice to not question anything and just enroll them.
Thank you. Just like they had no questions being asked about giving them driver's licenses. You don't ask anything. You ask questions, you get fired.
Where's the impeachment? That's what I want to know.
Where's the impeachment? Where's the jailing? Where's the hanging, honey? Because I'll have front row. I'll pay for a front row seat for that. That's right. Hang that thing from the gallows, honey. That's right. M. Soros. Oh, my goodness, I can name them all.
Yeah, so this is a city, Lynn, Massachusetts. It's about 10 miles north of Boston. And so you have people, illegal of all ages, signing up to go to school.
That's crazy. You know, they have so many different community-based programs. I mean, how would they learn anything in eighth grade? I mean, they don't know enough English to get to eighth grade level, I would assume. It doesn't even make any sense.
Guess you got to learn with them. Guess you got to learn their language. I know they were teaching my granddaughter, they were teaching her in kindergarten, my first granddaughter, they were teaching her Spanish, because she knows Spanish already. So from kindergarten on up, she's been learning Spanish.
Yeah, so they're not allowed to ask how old a student is. That's violating privacy rights.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
You know what? Guess what the people of that state are going to do about it? Nothing.
Yeah, they'll accept it and keep voting Democrat.
Thank you. I don't understand. We got people waking up, and then we got some that just like I say, wake up intentionally. They intend on being stupid that whole day. And so, you know, I don't understand. They need to wake up before it's too late already. I'll say it's too late already. Every time you wake up, it's a little late. You try to do anything about it. You know, you let everything into the White House that could possibly be of a radical Islamic nature. Yeah, we got that there. They might as well hang the flag out there. They might as well give me stress. You know, you just all this.
Well, what about this other potential law, you guys, that would require black boxes to be in everybody's cars?
I've been hearing that for years.
I think they're already doing it.
Well, I know that that flow from Progressive, the George Soros-funded company, they do that snapshot thing. I guess that's the precursor to it.
It is. Did anybody ever notice the name of Progressive is called Progressive? I mean, that's a red flag there. You know, the owner of that company or the founder of that company, I mean, he's a huge liberal donor, gave a lot of money to Obama, and I'm just guessing that's why, you know, they came up with the name Progressive, because they're progressive.
And I know, I've got to see them.
And their prices aren't even that good. I was with them when I bought my Volvo a couple of years back. I was shocked at how expensive it was, and I left within the first month, and that whole tracking thing. I mean, they make it sound like it's something cool, like, you know, you can get lower rates if you just install this in your car. That's creepy.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but every few years you're supposed to switch insurance companies.
Oh, is that right? Hey, let me tell you something. You know, in April I got insurance here. And it was like $285 for 6 months, okay? And, you know, of course I've had no tickets, no accidents, no claims, none of that stuff. I just get my renewal for 6 months, and it's $337. I'm like, I think we're moving in the wrong direction. Why did it go up? You know, I mean, it's just car insurance. I have nothing special on it, you know. And it went up. So I have a call into my agent. And
well, here's the issue on that is that the average insurance company feels that most people are lazy and or they don't really read the bills. They just pay it.
And so they raise rates, and every few years it gets to a point where you can call around and almost every other company is going to be competitive with those rates, and most will be cheaper. So that's why after two or three years you make some quote calls and you might switch over. But the average company just thinks you're a sheep and you're going to pay whatever they tell you to because you're not going to be motivated to make any phone calls for yourself.
Well, that's absurd.
I mean, you might think I'm joking, but that's how it is. That's why every 6 months your rate will raise because they figure they have you and they don't have to...
It's supposed to go lower.
They don't have to play the game to get you in the door. You're already in the door.
Well, I'm fixing to be out the door if I don't hear something good from my insurance guy. Because this is a company, you know, they bill you every month, right? And they charge a $6 per month fee. Well, when
yeah.
I first started, I paid half up front. But then they kept billing me every month. I think I probably paid at least double the original policy amount. But every little thing, I mean...
Yeah, and most companies will charge $6 for a processing fee every month. So if you want to save your $6, you just pay in six-month increments, and then they don't charge you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, every company is allowed to do that on monthly bills.
That's insane. Well, here in California, the minute that you are late or just from your insurance, there is an electronic notice sent to the DMV, and they cancel your plates on your car. So, in a way, I think it's actually kind of good that they do that, but, of course, on the other hand, I don't really like it. But I like the idea that I assume that most people on the road have insurance. So that makes me feel a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah, my last accident I was in about 10, 11 years ago, I got hit by an illegal that didn't have any insurance.
Huh. Oh,
and they charged me for the ticket only because they couldn't prove who that guy was. And since somebody had to take the ticket, it was me.
Well, that figures. Well, you know, then you might be one of those people that loves the idea that illegals can get driver's license now because, you know, we have to give them driver's license so that they can get insurance. I mean, isn't this crazy? Think about it. These people are here illegally. We obviously know who they are. I mean, it's not like we don't know who they are. So why are they still here? We know where they're at. We know where they work. We know what they're driving.
We know where they're standing if they're not working. I mean, there are a lot of them at the local Lowe's and Home Depot's waiting around for work.
Yeah. I won't tell you my story about that because we've only got, six more minutes, but...
Well, here until Dr. Prepper, and then he'll be on for an hour, and if you felt like you needed somebody to talk to, I'll be here.
Yeah, I've got a lot of work to do tonight, but I'm reading Dredge right now, trying to find something interesting going on, and I haven't seen much news today, so... are they still doing that that thing in Vegas, like that Joan Rivers thing? What was that guy's name? Frank Marino, I think.
Yeah.
He did something at the Riviera way back then.
And one of his, I don't know if it's competition or one of his buddies, Kenny Kerr, he did some impersonations also. He passed away last year.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, well, that's too bad. Wow. Hey, let me ask real quick before you have to go. Since you're over there, have you seen any commercials for the chopper? Remember the Dodge plate out in Henderson?
Yeah.
Are they still around?
Yeah, they're still around. He does Fiat also now. There's an office, I don't know if it's on Jones or Decatur, one of those streets. Could be Rainbow.
Oh, you're kidding. Is it Alta and Decatur where the Fletcher Jones Chevrolet store used to be?
There's nothing there right now.
I used to work there.
Oh, really?
Weird? Yeah.
That yeah, it's just an empty parking lot right now.
Wow. That is really just sad. Well, interesting. All right, well,
I doubt you would recognize half the streets. One of my friends wanted me to pick them up at the corner of Farm Road and Deer Springs, and I'm like, I have no clue where you're at. I can't help you.
Really? Well, I was there last September, so it had definitely changed quite a bit. I mean, I can't believe that, you know, when I lived in Vegas, I lived up at the lakes, and I was on Fort Apache and Desert Inn, and
yeah.
My apartment, which used to be called Club Pacific, mine faced Red Rock. And there was nothing between my apartment and Red Rock. Nothing at all. In fact, the street didn't even go anywhere. That was the end. It was the end of Desert Inn Road. And so, as you know, if you go now, it goes all the way up towards the canyon. Pretty bizarre.
Yeah, there's a new Sprouts that just opened up in a whole new shopping center on Sahara and Hualapai.
Really? No, what was
that? And there's a Trader Joe's that's supposed to open up in about a month around there, too.
Really? Okay. Huh. Well, that's a good story. I used to go to one out in Summerlin, or it was off of... Washington or something.
Washington and Buffalo. I live around there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where it was. All right, guys. Well, listen, have a good evening. It's 7 o'clock. I know your guys coming, and I got to get some work done. And...
All right. Cool.
And yeah. Okay. Have a good evening, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So, Tara, was there anything there you wanted to add on with that?
Well, I got a few things. You want me to go first?
Oh, go ahead. And you know I want to make you happy again.
Aw. You mean to tell me you have something else to make me happy with? You can't.
Oh, I don't have any berry stuff today right now.
Oh, good. See? Good. Okay. I thought you were going to mention something else.
I mean, you must think I only have doom and gloom or something.
As far as him, yeah. There's a new test under development that has the potential to authenticate organic tomatoes and other produce. And this
I haven't heard of that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is how to prevent organic food fraud. This is with CanadaFreePress.com. A growing number of consumers are willing to pay a premium for fruit, vegetables, and other foods labeled organic, but whether they're getting what the label claims is another matter. Now scientists studying conventional and organic tomatoes are devising a new way to make sure farms are labeling their produce appropriately. Their report, which appears in ACS Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, to prevent organic food fraud, researchers from the Bavarian Health and Food Safety Authority and the Wurzburg University note that the demand for organic food is growing at a rapid clip. Its global market value nearly tripled between 2002 and 2011 when it reached $62.8 billion. But because organic food can fetch prices often twice as high as conventionally produced food, the risk for fraudulent labeling has grown just as fast. However, figuring out whether a fruit or vegetable was grown under organic conditions is fraught with complications. Currently, the most reliable authentication technique analyzes the stable isotope composition of nitrogen, but it is not foolproof. Monica Oldman and her colleagues decided to take a stab at developing a new method. They looked to a technique called nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, which has been used to authenticate foods, including honey and olive oil. They analyzed tomatoes grown in greenhouses and outdoors with conventional or organic fertilizers. Their data showed a trend toward differentiation of organic and conventional produce. The researchers conclude that the test is a good starting point for the authentication of organically produced tomatoes and its further refinement to help root out fraudulently labeled foods. So that sounds good, and hopefully they can. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure, that's why I just really never went after organic, because I never trusted it to be. Just because you say it doesn't mean it is. Roadside, I can, and your farm is right behind you, or a little down the way, I can understand that, I can see that, and I still am not sure. So I never trusted that people say anything they want. Unless it's a definite difference in taste, then I may go for it. But other than that, I can't trust that. I never have been able to trust people. So it's kind of hard for me definitely to trust that. I can't trust it. You're telling me that it's organic. I don't believe that when I grow it in my own yard. I know it is in my own yard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully they can make it a way where people can not be fooled and know that they're buying organic food that has not been touched or tainted by Monsanto. I mean, everything you got to try, you got to kill everything. Yeah, the left does. And I'm going to say the left, yeah, the left is always the one that has gotten us in the mess we're in. So I'm saying, yeah, the left. I just
all right,
don't
well,
leave.
Carol, I'm going to have to stop here for a break, though, and Dr. Prepper is going to join us in just a couple minutes.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm sure he'll want to know how your gardening is turning out.
Oh, it's doing good. I've been just clipping away and eating, and I got to let it grow some now because I've been clipping away, except for the basil. The basil is growing really fast.
Okay. And I'm hoping to hear that you put some kale in your smoothie.
Oh, now, no. I've cooked with it, though. I sure have. Yeah. Oh, I've been eating it. I have.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
All right, well,
too.
Let me go to break, and when we come back, we'll have the legendary Dr. Prepper with us here. We'll be right back.
Globe Sound and Consciousness Institute presents the Globe Sound Healing Conference. With the full spectrum of the most well-known and respected pioneers, researchers, therapists, doctors, and musicians in the field. The conference will focus on acoustic instruments, sound and medicine, new sound technologies, sacred geometry, and raising consciousness with sound. The conference is being held September 26th to the 29th in the San Francisco Bay Area. Call 415-777-2486 or go to globesoundhealingconference.com. That's globesoundhealingconference.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Shalom, and praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune into our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings and peace to your heart.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Seems things are happening so fast now. And again, I want to thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be with your audience and with you tonight. Everyone out there in your listening audience, they should listen to you every single day. Don't you miss a program. Lord bless. Everybody set that spiritual house in order. It's the most important thing out there. Thank you, and good night.
All right, guys, we are back. Proof is here. Terrell's holding over from last hour, and we have, of course, from the Dr. Prepper radio show here on Freedomizer and the Preparedness Radio Network, we have Dr. Prepper with us tonight. Welcome in.
How you doing tonight, Proof?
Oh, I'm adequate. What about you?
I'm tremendous and improving.
So what's the latest and greatest out there in San Antonio?
Well, it was a nice day. It didn't get terribly hot because it was cloud cover most of the day. And that made it, you know, it was about 5 o'clock before the pavement got so hot you couldn't walk on the driveway. So we fared well, considering. But it's been a very cool summer compared to the previous year. And I guess it's really, what shall we say, belaboring the credibility of global warming here because it's been cooler. We've been really blessed. There have only been, maybe 5 days this year over 100, which is fairly rare. I've seen 100 on Valentine's Day. So that was a tough year. That was the beginning of the drought, and it's lasted about 10 years. So lots of trees dying. We had a crew come over. 14 guys showed up, a bunch of volunteers from the church came over with I just got out of the way. They were felling trees all over the property. Now I've got to go clean them up. But in about 3 hours, they took out every dead tree in the front yard, which is about 5 acres. So anyway, that's life. We live here in our little getaways. It's a redoubt as opposed to a bug-out location. It is where we live all the time. It's where we will stay. We're not bugging our way out and leaving all of our property and all that we have and all we spend our life working to have. We're going to stay here and protect it. And you can take that seriously, that protection. But, you know, I just listened to the announcement. That was, what's his name? I live by the 3-minute rule now. Since I passed my 75th birthday, I have what's called the 2-minute and the 3-minute rule. That means more than 2 or 3 minutes after I hear something, it's gone. I don't have to remember. I'm not responsible anymore. But who was the gentleman who was just did the advertisement saying, listen to the show? He's a spiritual head.
Lindsey Williams.
Yeah, Lindsey Williams. I'm sorry, I have a hard time remembering. He's a tall, thin guy. I met him way back during Y2K. Good man. But he hit on something that's really important. In today's world of pressure and things going awry and seemingly a country totally out of control, leadership, no clue, Congress, no idea what they're doing there, totally disparate, totally out of control, totally looking out for themselves and the heck with us, the poor citizens who voted them in, heck with us. I think spirituality is the most important thing we can work on. You can go to church if you want, that's fine. You can have a religion if you want, that's fine too. I'm not espousing any given religion over another. That's not what this is about. But it's about having a confidence in what you know and what you can do and how you're going to take responsibility for your family and what you're going to do to fulfill that responsibility knowingly and intelligently. That is the crux of being a parent in today's world. And I know half the families don't have two parents, which is another shocking statistic that we have to face up to. It's terrible. And when we see the things going on, riots and threats and foreign threats, wars, rumors of wars, all those things are going on all the time. It takes a certain amount of chutzpah, I guess I could say. You got to have a bit of class and a bit of understanding about what's going on in order to deal with it. It is so discouraging to watch the news. And it doesn't matter whether you watch Fox on the one hand or CNN on the other or MSNBC. They all have their point of view, obviously. But I am just amazed at the polarization between the left and the right. It's like they don't see anything having compromise. It's always my way or the highway. And I just don't get it. I don't see how they can stand apart when we're faced by such formidable enemies, internally and externally. Did that make sense?
I think so.
So that's why, one, Freedomizer is important. We broadcast on Friday afternoons, 3 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time to 6 o'clock. We have the West Coast, the pre-commute hour. And we get a lot of downloads during the week. I look at the numbers, and they're certainly, in the top echelon, which is good. We thank those who listen. It is about taking responsibility for our lives and knowing that the economy is changing, our lifestyle is changing, our lives are changing, and I think our future is changing. And now is the time to be prepared. And by prepared, it means get more knowledge, more education, get more stability in your job, in your life, gain additional skills and knowledge and talents, and try to be more capable of living in a future and changing world. It's getting antsy out there is a nice way to say it.
Well, let me mention this, and I've been applying at other jobs trying to get out of where I'm at, and people look at me now. I've been at my day job for 9 years, and honestly, I'm trying to get to a point where I could do Freedomizer full-time and not have to worry about all this, but since it's not happening, I've been applying at other jobs. I've been at my day job for 9 years. I haven't had a raise in almost 7. And people look at me now like I'm a hindrance because why have you been there 9 years?
Yeah.
It's like I'm not motivated to do anything else. So all I'm there for, I guess, is just to collect a paycheck because I haven't been promoted once. And they even say now that 2-week notices are outdated. I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, yeah. They can terminate for cause any time. Turn you out the door. They can pay you if they want. It depends on company policy. If they can force you to take their terms, they will. But I was in personnel, so I can manpower, and I can tell you that they can treat people as badly as they're willing to. It's just a matter, basically, of
it's an employer's market, they can treat you like total garbage. But if the economy was good, they'd be bending over backwards and making new rules just to get people in the door that are people that they want to work with.
But aren't you in the adverse economy? That is, when things are going really well, they're less need for you. But when times get rough, don't you have more business or more need for your services?
I guess, but that's not how big corporations look at it, I suppose.
Well, it's changed since I taught at college level. But anyway. I guess the most important thing that I can mention is that the times they are changing, the need to be prepared has never been more extant. There's never been a greater need to be aware of what's going on. My job is not to frighten anyone at all. Hopefully my job is to enlighten, not frighten. And bring to people a little light, a glimmer of hope, and some opportunity to move before it's too late. We cannot sit around on our desk trying to figure out what new car we're going to buy, how much we're going to pay for a new apartment or new furniture or whatever, or what we're going to do this weekend, how many kids are people going to have over the final barbecue of summer, as it were, before kids are back in school. How many steaks we're going to buy and the splurge we're going to make on drinks. I mean, those things really should be way down there, like number 10 or 11 on your list of things to do. The most important being thinking about what would happen should these idiots, these barbarians, these savage people who are threatening. I mean, I watched tonight Hannity and Combs. Combs used to be the partner with him. Well, he was being interviewed by someone, and It's amazing. Oh, no, there's no threat. You know, well, wasn't 911 a threat? Well, no, not, you know, I mean, it's like they justify everything. Tell me it's not a threat when nine-year-old kids shake their fist at us on the screen and say, we're coming to get you. I mean, my goodness, the hatred. And the people from the USA who've gone away to Syria to train with these wild-haired barbarians and then are going to come back and do damage. They may not be able to do a lot of damage. We're a very big country. But any person harmed is should be laid at the feet of the President of the United States, who's been totally asleep on the ninth hole. Or maybe it was the eighth. I'm not sure.
Sorry,
what we're seeing is that our leadership is asleep at the wheel, and then they have all ways of justifying why. Well, you know, we didn't want to do this. Our sovereignty hasn't been threatened, but our sanctity has been. And I don't want to wait till they take down a major building and destroy the lives of people like they did with 911, and for us then to get into an uproar and say, oh my goodness, you know, and feel sorry for the person.
Well, Dr. Prepper, is that they're allegedly targeting an undisclosed Las Vegas casino.
I know, isn't that funny? Yeah, look out, we'll get you in Las Vegas where the crowds are. Really? From what I heard, the numbers are way, way down. So I guess they're not watching the news. But anyway, I think we as Americans should be aware that and have a whole lot more empathy for Israel, knowing that their people are constantly being harassed by the enemy. And then, of course, the anti-feelings because they're defending themselves. We should be. I'm suspecting we are sending them stuff because we have contracts and agreements. Even though the president's not stupid, I think he's doing exactly what he's programmed to do. I think the whole the leaders, the people he has backing up, they do stupid things to us, but they're doing exactly what they're programmed to do. And yes, there's so many bad decisions being made. There's almost a contradiction in who gets any kind of what should we say? The word in French is obeisance, honor, glory goes to the least. This guy's fomenting problems all across our country. He's part of the problem. He is not part of the solution. The government is part of the problem, not part of the solution. You've got Harry Reid, bless your heart.
I know.
I feel sorry for you guys. Talk about a turncoat. Talk about a totally crass thinker. He only has one thing in mind, and that's to destroy the Republican influence or whatever it is. Disjoint government is what he's doing. I don't know why. Don't know what that penchant is to do that. But I watch the news. I watch the information. Of course, you get everything in sound bites. Nobody ever talks about anything past a break. And there's more and more advertising on more and more shows. So, golly, it's getting to where you only get everything as a sound bite. And it's hard to think in terms of sound bite because the exclamation point is always on whatever was last said, whether it was meaningful or not, the last thing said just before the break. And then they come back to it or avoid it. So you never get it discussed. These panels are the biggest waste of time on earth. One thing I like about radio and what I like about it, internet radio is it doesn't have that formality of, look, we've got to go to a break here, you know, 22 minutes into a show or 44 minutes or top of the hour, bottom of the hour. If we're into something that's going really well, we just go on with it. If you want to play a nice intro of 20 minutes where you can really sit back and enjoy some music and relax for a minute, you can do that. That's what's really great. And I hope that people will come on Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock block Pacific time, which means 6 o'clock on the East Coast start time, 5 o'clock here in my area, 4 o'clock in the mountain and 3 o'clock in Pacific. And we have a 3-hour show. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a fantastic guest for 2 hours. His name is Alan Corin. He's written about 18 books on gun laws across the country. He is Mr. Gun Law. He knows more about it. He lives in Phoenix. Alan's a very, very intelligent person. He has his gunlaws.com, and we're going to talk to him. I'm going to turn him loose. I'm going to say, okay, I don't know anything. Talk to me. And I'm just going to go to mute and let him go. And hopefully,
right.
I mean, that's the way I like to interview. That's what happened when I did Colonel T.D. Barnes. He spoke for he told stories end to end, a story, for about an hour and 12 minutes without interruption. I couldn't interrupt. It was just my jaw went slack. He kept telling me stuff that he did as he was directing Area 51, as he was working and taking apart the first MiG that was brought back from the Cold War, and took it apart to find out why it had better, it was beating our airplanes. He said within 2 months after that, they never beat us in another fight, but they had to capture one, bring it back, flew it back inside the belly of a huge aircraft in order to get it to the field, and then they took it apart, electronics, the whole gimcrackery, to find out what they were doing, why their equipment was beating ours. And, those are the kinds of conversations that you can only have on Blog Talk Radio. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be part of Freedomizer and bring people like this. So tomorrow, Alan Corwin at gunlaw.com, or gunlaws.com, one or the other, will be talking, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great show. You'll talk about the freedoms. Of course, he's part of the, what shall we call it, the drive for continued private ownership. You know, the government never misses a chance to beat us with their own plowshares. So it'll be interesting. He will have much information to help people understand the fact that our leaders have armed guards and we're not supposed to have any arms. Makes sense. But then that's why Washington is so foul. It stinks. It's because they've taken unto themselves more power, more authority, more benefits, more security than we have. They have become elite. They no longer work for us. In fact, they fired us and have taken and given themselves benefits. And as people always said, if they had the same benefits we did, our benefits would certainly get better.
Right, and they try to justify that too. They try to tell you why they need the benefits and you don't.
Well, we hire them to go to Washington to represent us. They get there, they talk among themselves, and then they fire us. shoot, life is good.
So I think Terrell is still here.
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, good.
Do you want to tell Dr. Prepper about your garden?
Yeah, I think I planted my garden area that was wrong, because I think my dog died, and my husband, he said he planted him further back into the corner of the garden, but my peppers aren't wanting to produce. The ones that I put in bins, they only gave me 2 peppers, and I had lots of bloom. But I have them so that I don't have to do a whole lot of weeding. I have them up in bins. Tubs, like with the sides all cut and stuff, so the water can drain out. But I'm not getting any peppers, and the Caribbean ones aren't hardly growing at all. I'm not understanding. I did the ground right. I put the soil in there and mixed it in. I've even put food sticks on them, and I'm still. Only thing that's growing real good is the dill. The thyme, too, the two I had, lemon and the regular, those died. Oregano is growing good, basil's growing good, and chives and carrots. But my, I've been clipping it off so much. The parsley and the cilantro, that's growing slow, and my green onions, I'm not understanding. I've planted more green onions, and I haven't seen them come up at all. I'm just not having the luck that I had this year.
Gardening is tough. People have this idea, Carol, that they just buy a bunch of seeds and they'll put them up on the shelf, and when the poop hits the propeller, those are going to plant seeds and they'll have a garden in a heartbeat, and they'll be okay. You got anything to say about that from experience? That's just not happening, is it? Because
yeah.
you got to know where to plant, how to
mm-hmm.
cultivate, and deal with some failures before you learn how to do it right in many ways. Plus, the land has to be prepared. It takes time to become enriched so that
guys, I have to interject here. I need about 2 or 3 minutes, you guys. I need to add a couple quarts of oil to the wife's car, so I'll be right back.
Okay.
I got about 5 minutes worth of sunlight left, and I want to do it while it's light up.
All right. Well,
okay.
Carol, I can probably just carry on, so we'll be good. When you come back, just say, hi, I'm back.
In the area, now last year, I planted my peppers, two rows, and they were in an area that kind of floods in the backyard, but they grew. And in this area, now here, they're not growing at all, and I'm thinking of taking them up and just putting them where it floods at because the water settles. But it's just a depression in that area there, and the water settles there. But they grew. Everything grew.
Yeah, plants don't like, their roots don't like to be in water too long because they get root rot. The other thing is do you have any pots sitting around, any old, you can go down to a nursery and you can buy their plastic pots, the ones that plants out of transplant. And that people return for a nickel, 10 cents, a quarter piece, depending on size. You can replant the ones that are in the ground in the wrong place. Replant
mm-hmm.
them. Keep the root ball as intact as possible. Plant them. Put them in the sunlight because peppers require a lot of sun. They're like tomatoes. They love sun. They need sun in order to build the vitamins and minerals in it. You can do that and put them on your porch or somewhere where they can get sun most of the day, or just reposition them in the yard. The nice thing is you can move them if you have to mow or whatever, and so it makes it a lot easier. I've built some little wheels. I was able to buy a bunch of casters really cheap that are closed down at Habitat for Humanity. They get a lot of donations, and since they can't use them all, they have a place where they have a little retail store. And you can go there and get a lot, and people will, when they're tearing out houses or whatever, bathtubs, used bathtubs, old antique bathtubs, wood, lumber, fireplaces, windows, entire windows, stained glass windows, these great big doors that they used back in the day when they do a remodel job, take them out. I go down once in a while. They had a bunch of casters that somebody stored had given them, get a nice write-off for it. I bought them all, about 250 of them. I made myself some little 1 foot square, 2 foot square platforms, and I screwed these little wheels.
Yeah.
I roll those all on my porch, and I do that. And so it really has helped me. I have a lot of porch in a small house, so I can push them into the sun. They get early morning sun, and then I can move them as the season changes. I don't have to do it every day. But, I mean, every month or so, I move them to a slightly different position where they get more sun during the day so that shade from the big tree doesn't hit them. So there are all kinds of things you can do to improve. But you need practice. You need experience. You need to see what fails and what doesn't and get it, keep it under control. That's the secret of being a farmer is you learn what works and what doesn't. Plants don't like to have water to roots too long. You can water them real good as long as it drains, but if water sits on them, they can't get oxygen, they need air down at their roots also.
Yeah, it drains quickly. So that area, normally, and I normally would, after burying my dog, I would have let the land lay fallow for a couple of years. I just never would have done anything over there, and nowhere where he was. But my husband wanted to put stuff down there, and now it's just not doing right. And I'm going to get the pots you said because, yeah, I like those pots, actually. I've transplanted out of those pots into bigger pots. And
yeah,
they
never throw the pots
good in those pots, yeah. So I know which ones you're talking about. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have to get probably 20 or so. But I will.
They're having sales all the time on their bagged soil. So you can, it's pretty, it's a lot cheaper to use pots. We call it container planting. Use any kind of container that works. We used to use troughs, when I get long pieces of lumber that are treated, I go ahead and build me some troughs that are maybe 6 feet long, and I can put a spray of flowers and get a lot of color, or I can get a lot of plants growing in them. And I was driving by a building up in Fredericksburg, Texas. Mm-hmm. They were taking the roof off the library. This was old copper, this was copper about 2 feet wide, and it had ridges in it, and it was all soldered down. They were tearing it off and rolling it up and lowering it to the ground. So I said, can I get that? And they said, we'll deliver it to you tomorrow. They brought a whole truckload of rolled copper. I mean, we're talking about stuff today that was 50 cents a square foot before installation. And I have built so many troughs for the deer, and I put water in a little float. And those are the kinds of things. You know, I'm building my food storage on the hoof to get them used to coming here, in good times. So when times get tough, they'll want to come back. But I don't like deer meat anyway. But we have a lot of deer on the property. We
got about back.
Other...
I'm here.
Oh, good. We're talking about having wild deer on the property, and I don't feed them, but I'll give water.
I love to see that. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we
were just talking yesterday about how much I like to eat buffalo.
There he goes. Buffalo. See?
Deer.
Would you shoot the poor little deer?
Shoot the deer. Never shot the deer. Do not shoot
Thank
the deer.
You.
No. We have two pairs of twins, cutest little things, and they can, I mean, within 24 hours of being born, they're clearing 6-foot fences. These, it's amazing to see how graceful these little types are, and they can move so. So we watch them during the day. I can look out my office window. It's less than 20 feet. It's not even that. 15 feet. To the watering spout and a big 5-gallon bucket. I keep filled. Every time I go by, I put water in it for them. And coming in, they pass in the morning. They come back at night, and so I always have water for them. And we get to enjoy that a lot. We have feral pigs at night. They're no fun. They're scary. These are big mamas weighing 250 pounds, and with their skinny little things coming, piglets wandering after them. And they can root up a tree that you can't push it over with a Ford truck, and if they want what's in between the roots, they'll take that thing up with their snout. Amazing strength. But I have something to report that you'll really like. This is we talked about this 2 weeks ago on my show for about an hour and a half. I got more comments. I got emails from people saying they never heard of anything like it. They're so tickled that we took the time to explain it. And that's my in-home freeze-drying machine. I bought one. I finally we saved our money so we could buy one. It's a brand-new product. In 1973, the first in-home dehydrator was delivered, to a home. It took 40 years to get freeze-drying into the home, and I have one. And it's American-made, American-engineered. It comes out of Salt Lake City. They shipped it to me. I got it installed. I keep it running all the time. It has run from the minute I got it until this morning when I realized the oil in my compressor was black and needed to be changed. It's supposed to be clear. I couldn't see the gauges because I was covering it with the oil had picked up so much liquid. I guess you'd call it a condensation, that it turned the oil to burn, and therefore it goes from clear to very foul looking black color that is you can't read the gauges through it. So I've got some stuff ordered. I found you have to you get to be really entrepreneurial if you're going to own these kinds of equipment. They're wanting $32 for a quart of the oil for this, and it takes about half the quart to fill it up, and you have to use you have to drain a little to get the water out, and so you're using a few ounces every time you run it. I found 4 gallons. It said so instead of being $32 a quart, I was able to buy 4 gallons for $78.
Wow.
Yeah. So I glommed on, and the freight's included. Hello. And it's on its way here by truck from somewhere down in Florida. Be here Tuesday, unfortunately. And so I just shut the system down. Didn't want to run it with all that grungy-looking oil in it. The compressor at wholesale is $545, and I'm not quite ready to buy another one. I just got the machine. But I am freeze-drying food. We have been freeze-drying everything in the refrigerator. More food is wasted in the refrigerator. My refrigerator, every once, my wife goes in about once every 2 weeks and says, Madame Curie's been here again raising penicillin in the back of my refrigerator. Because I don't eat leftovers. My wife does. I grew up in a family of 7. There were never any leftovers.
Are you serious? They live on leftovers.
Well, that's great. I don't. I never had leftovers. My wife loves leftovers. She was an only child. And she and her mom, when Dad was on the road selling petroleum products, they would have leftovers. So she loves them.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Prepper. I know that you've had to have made chili once or twice in your life. I personally think tastes better after it sits for 2 or 3 days.
All right, me too. It ages. And it also begins to break down a little bit so that it's smoother. Well, let me tell you what. I've come up with some special recipes, because that's what I do, among my other traits, is find a way to make stuff taste good. And we have a lot of rice and beans and stuff, so I've been able to take baked beans and freeze-dry those puppies and put them into a sack. I came up yesterday with a barbecue chicken. I take about 3 to 4 pounds of chicken breast. I get the skin and bone, and then I pull the skin off, throw it away, cook the rest of it in a pressure pot so it falls off the bones, and the bones you can eat. And then I debone it, put the bones in the pot with a gristle and other kinds of stuff, and just boil it for high level for about an hour while I'm working with the rest of it. I then take the chicken and put it in the refrigerator in a plastic bag so it can get cold. Then I slice it, put it on the tray. Put it into the I drop it right into the crock pot. About 3 pounds of cooked chicken. I pour over it about a good sized bottle of Paces Picante sauce or whatever you like. There are other brands, Hernandez, a number of them. And then I put about a cup of brown sugar in it, turn it on hot, let it cook for a couple hours, stir it every once in a while just to break the chicken up so it looks like pulled pork or pulled chicken. And then I put it over brown, I cooked some brown rice in that chicken stock that came off the chicken and with the bones cooking in, cook the marrow out of it. And then I strain the bones out, eat the knuckles, like I love the knuckles on chicken bones, and so I'm a country boy. And then we took the brown rice in that liquid and then mix them in the pot. You talk about good. That is so good. And I tried it with pork. I've tried it with beef. And now I've tried it with chicken. Fantastic. It's like pulled pork. It's not Southern style like I'm used to, but Western style where it's really, really good. When we eat all we can, I then freeze dry it, put it in the tray, put it in the freeze dryer. 24 hours later, I pull it out and put it into a bag. And the rice, it looks like Rice Krispies. It's so, it's amazing. And we eat it like snack food. We don't even have to rehydrate it. We just eat it. I take green beans in my cans. I've had several years. They're way past date. I open them up. these aren't swollen cans. These are just cans where it's past the date, and that's okay.
Right.
It happens. So anyway, I put them in a colander, rinse them with cold water, or warm water, doesn't matter, drain them for just a minute or two, and then put them on the tray, shake them around so they're level, salt them with some kind of, with a seasoned salt that I like, put them in the freezer, now they're cooked, you know, already, so you put them in the freeze dryer, 24 hours later, you've got this crunchy, snacky, healthy food that you can keep in a bag, seal it, reseal it, and eat it. So we have a snack food. We can eat rice, brown rice. Once you cook brown rice and freeze dry it, it never gets rancid. Brown rice is so hard to store because it has oil in the shell, and so it always smells a little rancid is the best. That's oxidation. And you can get rid of that by either cooking it with a couple of teaspoons full of vinegar or rinsing it in vinegar as you rinse it before you cook it. So and you put it in with all this barbecue sauce, which has a little vinegar anyway, you can't tell the difference, and it's just fantastic. And freeze-dried, it's crunchy. It's like cookies. You have to break it out of the pan because it just turns into a crusty thing. Everything I've tried has worked except two things. Cantaloupe, I just don't want to cut it so fine. You have to cut it in about half-inch cubes in order for it to, because it's kind of dense. And the center won't quite, it'll freeze, but it won't freeze dry. It's still great. I just keep it in the freezer, but it makes it so sweet because it concentrates. It pulls the liquid out of strawberries, and the strawberries are so tasty. And strawberries go really fast. You have to cut them in half. Remember, this peeling or the outside cover is supposed to keep the moisture in, so
yeah.
You have to cut them in half. But I'm going to do some olives and things like that next week. I've got to go to the store.
I'm guessing that grapes and watermelon wouldn't be two fruits that would be hard
grapes,
to freeze.
Grapes you cut in half, fantastic. The white grapes were to die for. They are the best snack, just unbelievable. And, of course, we don't really...
See, I guess I'm racist when it comes to grapes. I like black grapes better than any of the others.
Well, I just didn't have any. That's all. I just didn't have any. But I would suspect that if you leave the seeds in them, they'll be completely edible, crunchy, just like the rest of them, because I'm sure it'll suck the moisture. Haven't tried it yet. Just haven't got that far. It doesn't do well on jams. The sugar doesn't give up its liquid, and it becomes syrupy. It will make it very, very taffy-like, very stiff taffy, but it's not brittle and crisp. It won't break up, which is... applesauce did fine. Oh, I took some dill pickles. Oh, sliced them, put them on the tray. I want to tell you what, they will change your life forever. When you take a dill pickle, which is sour when you take it out and eat it, when you have freeze-dried it, I guess is the way to say it, it is so intense because all the liquid's gone and all you get is the pickle juice and the pickle. And I'm going to tell you advice. I want to do some bread and butter pickles next. I just didn't have any in the house. So my watermelon does really well. I only had two fails. The cantaloupe never was set. I didn't run it twice. I did run my cranberry sauce. I had a can of cranberry sauce with the whole fruit in it. And I took it, I sliced it, opened the can, slid it out, sliced it in rounds, and put it on the tray. I had to run it twice to get the results I wanted, which in my machine, that's 48 hours in the machine, fairly, not really expensive. Haven't received my first light bill yet since we started using it. That'll be here the last day of the month. Yeah, that'll be Tuesday because we won't get it. Well, maybe Saturday. We'll get it. But they projected it would cost about $1 a quarter a day to run it. It's just a small refrigerator is really what it is. It takes the temperature down to 40, 50 below, then allows it to be warmed up with a little heater element that's built into the system up to about 10 degrees. And as it changes from really frozen to not so frozen, it tries to thaw. And then they vacuum off all of the gas that's coming out to turn into liquid. and that coats the side of the machine, and then your food has the water eliminated from it, so it's very light, airy, and lightweight, but it keeps it same size and color, which is and nutrition. So I'm going to try next to some sprouts. I'm doing some sprouts because I love sprouts, but I like the crunchiness. Sprouts are great, but they do have a short shelf life of just so many days in the refrigerator. So now if I can freeze dry them, maybe salt them up a little bit, and I can have me some snacking food. So I'm just having a big time. It runs around the clock. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm loading her up or unloading it, getting ready for another one. It takes me about 30 minutes to turn it around from opening the door with all the ice in it to thawing out while I'm packing the product away into the Mylar bag with an oxygen absorber, then seal it with a machine that came with it, and I'm good to go for 25 years with that product. I did apples, I've done pears. I've done tomatoes out of the can, you know, little Holt aromas that they put into a can with the skin gone. I pour the juice through a strainer into a collection cup, then take the moist fruit, the really wet fruit, but not the juice rolling around. I slice everything in half just to keep it simple and make sure it works. Because I don't want any failures. But I'm getting stuff out and putting it in bags, and it's amazing. Everything tastes so rich. I did marshmallows. I was able to find giant campfire marshmallows. They're big, almost as big as half as big as your fist. When two of them, I can't get one of them in my hand. Two of them are as big as my fist. I had to cut them in half to get them into the tray that would go under, that would clear the entryway to the shelf, and they're so crunchy, a soft. You think of a soft, pillowy marshmallow. I turn them into a hard rock, crunchy, sugary taste delight. And I did a freeze dried ice cream sandwiches. You talk about unbelievable joy. That's what that brought.
That sounds like all good camping food.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's fantastic. You just put it in a Mylar bag that can be reused. It gets a little smaller each time you use it. But it's fantastic. And, it was not cheap. It was a big investment. But it's the missing link to a home storage program.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when you bring your fresh veggies in, the ones you can't eat immediately, I did sliced tomatoes, fresh sliced tomatoes. They were on sale at the ones that are 98 cents a pound for these vine-grown, where they come in on the vine still. They usually come from Denmark. They're beautiful red tomatoes, 3 or 4 to a bunch. I got me a bunch of those, and I sliced them and put them on the tray. You talk about absolute flavor, unbelievable product. And I just put them in the bag. They're light as a feather, and you fill a bag with them and then seal them. And they're good for years and years and years and decades. It's amazing. And so I'm going to start salting or flavoring everything that goes in the bag so we can sit and eat them, eat healthy vegetables instead of potato chips and corn chips and things like that. And you can always crumble them up in your salads. We have a lot of salads here. My wife loves salads.
By the way, I want you to tell Terrell that I'm drinking my kale soda again.
Which one?
No.
I'm drinking kale-flavored soda.
Oh, kale-flavored soda. Okay.
Oh.
Hansen's makes it. If you like 7-Up or ginger ale, you'll like kale soda.
Okay.
Yeah, I like ginger ale. Dr. Pepper, did you eat buffalo meat? Those precious buffalo, do you eat that meat?
Yes.
Oh, God, no. Oh, you and Proof. Don't let Proof on your property. He'll try to eat your deer, I'm telling you.
Well,
making children out of your little deer friends, I'm telling you.
Don't let him
on your property.
You know, deer is a lot of work. A deer is a lot of work per pound. There's such lean to They're not fat and sassy. These are lean little animals that have to work every day. They go to work every morning to find enough food. Been in a drought for 10 years. They even eat the plants that deer that deer don't like because the shoots at least give them something. But no, it's been a rough life on a deer here lately.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. They love it here. That's all they do is kill a deer here. It seems they eat venison and making sausages, and that's all they talk about in a certain county. Gosh.
Ours is a city deer. I live in the city limits, so ours is a city deer.
Yeah, these people are in the county, so, you know, they're I guess when it's season time, they just go kill up all my deer. They're my precious animals that Mr. Proof wants to eat. I told him those buffalo aren't bothering anybody, just like the deer.
Well, these aren't wild buffalo, are they? These are buffalo that are raised to eat, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Proof, you got to see. Come on, Proof. Now, Proof, you're from New York. Now, you ate
Yeah,
buffalo
there's a big buffalo farm out in Riverhead. And this guy has his own restaurant called Tweed. And there's a buffalo farm that he raises, and then across the street, you can eat them.
Oh, give me stress.
That's interesting.
Pick out which one, huh? Oh, I want that one. Okay, Proofy. No, I'm not eating buffalo. You're not going to get me to try that.
Well, I have a kale soda for you also.
No kale soda yet. No, I'm not ready for that yet. No, you keep trying to get me to try all this stuff. No. I told him, Dr. Pepper, I don't eat anything I've never eaten before. No way. Because if I don't like the taste of it, I'm going to be kind of mad there. So I don't try stuff I have never eaten. No.
Well,
so I'm going to stay away from the buffalo.
It's just a big cow.
Yeah, but he has pretty eyes, and he doesn't bother anybody. He's out there minding his business. And somebody had to round them up and raise them to be killed. That's terrible. It's terrible. These poor animals, I tell you, they just have to run for their lives, boy. I tell you, they got the nerve to have the little deer stands where they sit up there and watch the poor deer. Golly, just stalk them.
Yeah, but Terrell, one of the things that I know Dr. Prepper could tell us about too is about learning how to forage, is what they call it, where you go out in the wilderness and you know what things off what trees you can eat and what you can't.
Yeah, my husband told us about that years ago when I was raising my kids, but I've forgotten, and I don't plan on being in the woods. Don't like the
like
woods.
Like, stinging nettle is one of the best things you can eat. That and dandelions.
What in dandelions?
I'm good with dandelions. We used to make dandelion tea and coffee. Yeah, and it makes a good salad, but you just have to be aware that you don't think about the stuff you eat it's growing in your yard. These things are cultivated, but you can. These things are cultivated and grown just to be able to have them for salad. And you can, and it's expensive if you buy that stuff at Whole Foods and places like that. My goodness, they charge you an arm and a leg.
Hmm.
How much? How much
there are
do you
lots
get
of things you can't eat. I'm not as good as my mother was at it. My grandmother lived in the woods. When I'd get something go wrong, it was sassafras tea. If I got something in my eye, it was a flax seed. If I had, you know, something else goes wrong, she would go pour this and that, concoct it, and say, drink this, Jimmy. And I said, I don't like it. She said, well, put it in some buttermilk. always away. Yeah.
Yeah, I told you about the flax seed. Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Yeah, my husband told me about that. You put it in a person's eye, and it runs to the corner, either corner of the eye, and gets whatever it is out.
Yeah, it sweeps up the little cereal, and the flaxseed reach out and grabs whatever. Yeah, so
yeah, the
all kinds of stuff. I grew up on poultices and you know, things like that to solve problems, because we lived out in the country, and it was the Second World War, and the only time we saw a doctor when there was a baby to be delivered, you know, or somebody to be pronounced dead, because they had to get around. It was tough getting around, you know. There just so many things were not available out in the country. So if you didn't have a horse or a car with and ticket, what do you call them, coupons and tokens for gas.
That's what I would do for a kid to grow up nowadays like that. Grow up.
Didn't
grow
you
up
get
having
stamps
farm.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Did you get green stamps?
No, we had tokens, and we had ration stamps, and so based on the size of your family, you could get red coin. These were kind of a fiberboard, kind of a cardboard thing. They were red, green. I'm trying to think, red, green, or two colors. I remember one was for meat and one was for dairy. So you could get so much milk or so much cheese or something for that. This is when things were sorely rationed. And with red, you could get meat, and you had a choice of pork or beef and some lamb or chicken, and you whatever they had available, you could pick from what they had if you're at the front of the line. As the line got longer during the day, there was none that you got what was left over. But I remember going there and standing with my mom. I'd hold mine because we had our. I held the one for our family. She held the one for her mother's family, and that was how you got your meat during the war. That's how
did
you
get slaughtered milk as well?
Well, we had cows. We had our own milk, but we had we had five kids, and Dad was working up in he was working in Newport News, which was about 200 miles away. We only saw him on payday weekends. Every other week, he'd come home. They couldn't draft him because they couldn't put him in war, but they had him building warships, and he was the superintendent of building all of the, and he was a pretty young man doing it, but he was a very, very good carpenter, very efficient, very clean living, very kind person, worked with everyone well. He's had a few people abuse him, but only once, but he was a very strong gentleman. But he would get they gave him the coupons because he didn't, along with money, tickets and coupons, he'd bring them home, and then we'd go get our food. But they drafted him to build ships. He built the ramps and the scaffolding in wood around the ships before they launched them so they could get the rivets. Do the welding and do all that kind of stuff and the painting before they let it go down the slide into the water. So he was responsible for all that woodwork, the ramps of the scaffolding around the outside of the ship. That was his job. And then there was another year before it was gone. Before it was outfitted, as it were. They just put the hull into the water, so to speak. They pulled the hull over by a work dock where they could get parts and pieces, and they started delivering a long line of stuff to outfit the boat, whether it be guns or whether it be, storage, winches, all kinds of equipment. So that, but he got the hull into the water. That was his job.
Okay.
Great old days. I remember a lot of those events. I still remember, my mother worked at Mojud. You've probably heard of Mojud, M-O-J-U-D, hosiery. What was, in our day, was called Mock, Boehringer, and Judson. You can see why they changed it to Mojud. But they made all the socks and stockings for the military. And Cone Mills was in my hometown also. So Cone made all the duck, the cotton duck materials, all the Wrangler overall, coverall, and jeans materials right there in Revolution Mills right in my hometown. We could actually see the mill smokestack from our farm. Long way, but we could see them sticking up, belching smoke.
Because I feel like Rambler.
Yeah, I mean, it was way out there in the boonies. Now, town goes out past where I used to live as the town has grown, but we were way out in the country. We were 5 miles out in the country at that time. And in those days, 5 miles was a long way, I can tell you. I went back and took my wife to show her where I was raised, and I remember when we would drive from our home to my grandmother's, we'd pack a lunch. It was a mile. When I went back and drove it, it was a mile. And when I went to my other grandmother's house, I mean, we went, you know, we almost went with a change of clothing because it was 2.5 miles.
Wow.
Oh, unbelievable. And today, it's zip, you're there, you know, because the streets are different. They don't have the blue ribbon roads anymore. They've got four-lane highways. And, you know, it's amazing how it's all changed. And where my mother, the house we were raised in is no longer there, it wasn't at that time. And we used to play football in the front yard. And now, I don't know how we could play football in that front yard. It was so small. It was a postage stamp. But when we were growing up, there were four of us kids who played football there every afternoon. It's amazing. So it's all perspective. And when you're seeing that buffalo, you know, you see it as a gentle animal with soft brown eyes. Remember, it's somebody's livelihood. It's somebody's life.
No, that's somebody, something else.
And it's somebody's buffalo steak, too.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, you. Oh, yeah, yours. Oh, my goodness. No, I could just see you now tipping around somebody.
There's a restaurant here in my town. There's only one restaurant. There's only one place of business in my town. Business is forbidden, but this place was here before the town was. It was a stagecoach stop. It's called the Gray Moss Inn. The Gray Moss Inn serves those exotic kinds of meat fresh. They bring in all kinds of stuff. I think a buffalo steak is about $75 for a plate. I don't hang out there. I don't go down there for lunch because they don't open for lunch. But I don't go there for supper either. I can't afford it. It's an interesting place. But they have all kinds of wild stuff, and it's way out here in the country compared to things in the city. Still, well reputed, well managed, not high traffic, but very high quality, and it's the place to come to. And it's way out here in our little town of 400 people, it is the hot spot where limousines come out, the buses come out.
There's a town with 400 people in it.
Yeah, we have our own police.
That's
we have our own mayor, our own council. We have our own fire station.
I need to move where you are, because I don't like being around a lot of people anyway, so that would be beautiful for me.
Oh, it is. And of course, my next door neighbors have over 100 acres each, and I'm sandwiched in the middle with about 7 acres. They have big Angus bulls wandering around on their property. We see them over the fence. They're big. They are big. And longhorn steers and things, but they have 100 acres or so. And these animals just wander around on their acreage. It's amazing. And we live in the hill country, so there are hills and trees. And it's really beautiful, but it's been a drought season for many, many years now. So we've had a lot of our major league 100-year-old trees that have. My home was built in 1929, so it's an old house. No air conditioning. It is really tough, but we have open the windows and it has a big porch. Let's see air in. So in this country, we hope that no one will be interested in us poor people out here in the boonies. When the poop hits the propellant and everybody's looking for food, we hope that they'll stop at those rich subdivisions between us and town, because it will happen. The people in the city center will migrate outwards looking for the things they were entitled to, because as the downtown area becomes more and more destitute, the people will move out in ever-expanding circles, The poor people will do better than the rich people because they're used to struggling. They're used to making with what they have. It is a reality. that has nothing to do with ethnic whatsoever. It has to do with the fact that people who haven't had a lot learn how to get along without a lot, and they don't have the necessary trappings. We see poor people, as it were, the people downtown, and because we live so far south, we have a lot of. We maybe have one freeze, two freezes a year, and it gets down to 30. It has gotten lower. It's gotten down to 8 degrees. That was rough, but typically we'll get a couple of freezes a year. If we don't, the cucarachas take over. They eat us instead of us killing them. So you'll see these people struggling. They go to the back door of restaurants, and a lot of the our country is so idiotic in some of its administration. You can't take food that's been cooked and give it to any organization. You can't serve cooked food because they're afraid that people will die of food poisoning or some tainted food or something like that. So we throw it out or swap it to pigs so the people won't eat it. Ridiculous. These people are used to going behind restaurants.
Yeah, Americans waste an average of about 40% of the food they purchase, too.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of my new freeze-dry machine. Anything that looks like it's not going to be eaten or is surplus, I go ahead and put it in the tray, just put it down in the refrigerator and hold it till a tray becomes available, and then I do four trays at a time, which gives me about three number 10 cans full of product. Whatever I put in there stays the same size. It doesn't get any smaller. It just loses its moisture, so it gets very much, very, very light. But I can, anything that is in danger, I can freeze dry and preserve it for a long time. If you have a special dietary problem or whatever, this would really be handy because you can make up a bunch of it in your chili. I've been doing chili. I've been doing spaghetti sauce and things like that, and it's beautiful. It's fantastic. It works like a charm. And you can it rehydrates in about 2 minutes, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Pour it in hot water, it's rehydrated instantly, and you can serve it, within 5 minutes. And it's exactly what you put away. So if you have a really special chili recipe, you make up lots of it like I used to do for my kids. When I was traveling on Sunday afternoon before I leave on a Monday morning, I'd make up a 2 or 3 gallon pot full of chili or spaghetti sauce, whichever you want to call it. It's very easy to move one through the other. And leave that for the kids. And I'd come home and it'd all be gone. The pot's washed waiting for the next for the next load. Now you can make up gallons of it and freeze dry it, and it would always be there ready to use, which is fantastic. So I've really enjoyed my freeze dry machine. It's been a whole new world for me. It's kind of the result. Me as a Dr. Prepper certainly helps me with my prepping, because now I'm not wasting 40% of my food. Yes, we did waste some, but we didn't waste that much. But I hate to lose anything. But I've done strawberry yogurt, tastes like strawberry ice cream. I've done, pinto beans. I've also done pork and beans. It doesn't do pork fat very well because the fat doesn't have any liquid in it, and so it can't get rid of it, and so you don't like that being in the bag. So you pull out, but that's why all freeze-dried meat has very little fat in it, very little fat content, because animal fat does not freeze-dry very well. So we're learning as we go, and I'm writing a little booklet, a recipe booklet on some of the things I've learned to do, and telling how to maintain these machines. They're fairly expensive, as you can appreciate. They're way less than what you would pay for the laboratory models you can buy today. But this does in 24 hours what a lab model does in about 3 to 7 days. So it's specially made just for this. Brand new product, American made, fantastic, comes out of Salt Lake City, and weighs about 100 pounds, about twice the size of a typical microwave oven.
Wait a minute, Dr. Prepper, what's the name of this machine? Because I know a friend, I want to save myself for it, plus I know someone that does a lot of camping, and I'm sure this will help them out.
Harvest Right. Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, Right, R-I-G-H-T. They're in Salt Lake City.
All right.
And you have them call and say, Dr. Pepper said, call, and they'll probably give you a couple $100 off. I don't get the money, but they're one of my advertisers. And, I had to buy my machine. I give it to me. I had to buy one. And all I do that because I want to be, fantastic.
Okay. So that does sound good. When I heard Larry talking about it, and then you and Larry both, I think, were talking about that different kind.
He talks about it. I do it.
Yeah.
That's the difference between me.
Yeah, I want to do it too because that just sounds good. I mean, it sounds healthy snacks is what I really like anyway.
Yeah.
Especially
kids
and grandkids.
You can take all your veggies fresh out of the garden, out off the tree, whatever, slice them, dice them, put them into the thing, and you've got shelf life that won't go away. And tomato sauces are particularly vulnerable to age. The ketchup will turn dark. Mayonnaise will turn dark.
That's true.
You can take all those condiments if they don't have a lot of fat, you know, just oil. You can't take oily stuff because it won't give up the liquid. And sugary, sweetened things don't give up very easily because it's turned into a pectin. But practically everything else I've tried has worked.
You got to let me know how oatmeal works.
I scrambled eggs. I scramble eggs like we like them. Freeze dry them. Unbelievably good.
Okay.
You don't even have to rehydrate. You just pop them in your mouth like popcorn. Because I left it, I scramble them in so that it's fluffy. And I put a little extra, I put a little milk or cream, half and half in my eggs, and then whip them up really good. And then I also took some turkey bacon and went ahead and put it in the oven and baked it or broiled it actually, freeze dried that and put it into the package with the eggs. You talk, amazing! You really have a lot of fun doing this, you know. And it doesn't matter what food costs today because when you need it in the future, it's going to be cheap, you know.
Yeah. I like the easy storage, too, space. Storing it.
Well, freezing is the most expensive way to store food. The machine has to run all the time to keep the temperatures low, and you're going to suffer freezer burn. And freezer burn is not freeze drying. World of difference. Freezer burn is damage.
Done for.
Yeah. You never get the flavor back once you burn, because what you've done is actually you've desiccated the meat. And I've watched YouTube things where all these people say, well, we can freeze dry at home, and I watch the machinations they go through, and they cannot. But they cannot match this little machine. They tried everything because it has to be at 40 to 50 below, and you have to run a vacuum, that you couldn't live in. I mean, it sucks it down to 1% moisture. Now, that's pretty, that's pretty low. And when you pack that away with an oxygen absorber in the sack, I'm going to tell you, it does a great job. But the tomato slices, red and bell peppers, you slice those, unbelievably good. Well, it's believably good, I can tell you. It's incredibly delicious, actually, is a better way of saying it, being positive. Always bother people say, you won't believe. Well, don't tell me if I won't believe. So when I say incredible, I'm just don't believe this. You can't believe this. That's what, but English is slang, and that's our slang way of saying this is really good. I should say this is just really fantastic. It's very, very, what's the word, enlightening. It feels good to know that I'm not wasting anything, that I am preserving it. And it has the disadvantage of being very bulky. But you can take any kind of food. I'm going to do some, as I said, to get me some sweet pickles, some bread and butter pickles, because I love those. Everything gets richer. Everything tastes better. You're just taking, all you do is taking out the water. And so everything else concentrates. And you still have 97 to 98% of the food value, and the enzymes are still in the product. So when you put the water back to it, the enzymes start to, develop again. So it's a fantastic situation. Freeze drying is how they keep blood and other medications and things active, so they can use them on the battlefield and in remote hospitals and things like that.
True.
When you get a compound in the military, I was an Army medic. When those those and you mix it with water to make a solution, those are freeze-dried items.
Yeah.
So, really interesting. Anyway, it's a delight to have products that can help you achieve what you're trying to do. And what I'm trying to, I realize that the future will not probably be in gold and silver. It will probably be in food because everybody eats.
Yeah.
So being able to grow a garden is really important. Having a, you cannot store enough food not to be growing it on the other end somewhere sometime. Because you can't sustain yourself with how much, you'd have to have a warehouse as big as half of Las Vegas to store enough food that you'd never have to grow some more. So to be sustainable, you have to be growing food that's fresh, mm-hmm. that you can add to the back of your current storage or use in the interim. You cannot store enough food for yourself. Well, you know, couldn't afford it unless you happen to be, you know, some very, very, very wealthy person. So you've got to learn how to sustain your environment by being able to grow. And the other thing is, you need to have some food because if we do have a dirty bomb or we have a nuclear problem, you're going to want to make sure that you're getting food. The food, you know, the food you have is safe.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
So what else can I help you with?
Well, I was going to say that I like when people like Carol are around me because I like all kinds of different foods, and some of the stuff I'm interested in, Carol might not recognize it's food, so it would make my life a lot easier.
It's amazing what we get in some of our foods. If we knew some of the things in our foods, we'd really be sick. That's why we are sick. But for you, particularly, the fact that you can go to Whole Foods or go wherever you get your fresh Whole Foods, or your real foods, if you want to call them that instead of Whole Foods, but real foods, you can now preserve them. You can can them. You can bottle them. There are 24 ways to preserve food. Some of them, like irradiation, may not be good, but it's a way of preserving food, and a lot of our food is being irradiated, whether we know it or not. A lot of stuff coming from Europe, a lot of spices are irradiated, for example, source before we see them. And we're not so sure that they have the kind of tight, or some third world country, they may not have the same kind of equipment that we would use. And the FDA and USDA and other entities would be checking all the time because their inspectors paid to do that. In some third world country, you know, it could be a used X-ray machine they're using. And who knows what kind of killer radiation is going into what they're dealing with. And
they're a third world country. They try it hard.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I think he's talking to you, Cheryl.
I didn't understand.
They're trying to turn this country into a third world country. They try hard.
Well, there are always people who will do anything for a dime or a nickel or a penny. And those people you have to be careful of. You don't know somebody was. Well, wait a minute. You have Hanny, don't you? What's she going to be on tonight? The food babe. Wasn't she supposed to be on tonight?
No, not here.
Oh, I thought I heard you now. Well, I saw it on your. I know I saw it on Freedomizer Radio. I thought I heard an announcement that she was going to be on tonight. I was looking forward to, but I went over and watched her videos. Went to her website from your, from Freedomizer, and she was looking at packages. And, if you can't pronounce it, it's probably not good for you.
Okay.
It means it's some compound that's been made up in somebody's laboratory to make it so that we'll want to buy it. We'll like the taste or flavor or something like that. Those are critical things we have to really watch out for. So I guess what I'm saying is that at least you can get control of your life if you can dry, bottle, dehydrate, freeze dry, however you want to do it, pickle.
That's right.
Fermentation is a really good way of preserving some materials and good for your body. Cabbage is particularly good when it's fermented. You know, every country has a fermented cabbage recipe. I happen to like sauerkraut. That's one of mine. It's really good for your body. Really good for digestion.
Yeah, I do too. I like that sauerkraut and the hot dog.
Yeah, I never got into krauts.
What? And you from what? You from New York,
like
man.
Fermentation would be good for you if you like whole foods and real foods. Fermentation is one of the long-term ways of preserving food, and sauerkraut, kimchi, and that's a little hot for me. But sauerkraut is excellent in any form, whether it's sweet or whether it's sour. Both of them are really good for your body for digestion and helps prevent GERD.
I do happen to like kombucha, though.
Okay. Well, do you make your own?
No, not yet.
Oh, that's a fermented. Well, we made that. Oh, my goodness. Great stuff. Great stuff.
Cheryl makes her own kefir.
For a minute.
Kefir's good, too. Kefir's, I consider it just really thin yogurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I eat a lot of probiotic yogurt myself, and I know I have a Vitamix, and there's recipes. I just haven't done anything with them yet, but I'm interested in learning.
Uh-huh. Well, in my next book, the next version, the 14th version, I'm going to identify the 24 ways to save food, to preserve food, and try to. I'm starting to expand ways of doing. You know, some of it's really a lot more work than it may be worth, but it's always good to have alternative ways to do things because you never know when the lights are going to go out for whatever reason. And some of these products will say they don't need refrigeration. You can put them in a hot house and keep them hot, and they're still good because you can do that with sauerkraut. It doesn't care. There are lots of things that don't matter. If they're pickled, you're not going to shorten the life very much by heating it, putting it in a hot environment. But I tell people about food. If you're going to store food, there's one important rule. Food is your life. Keep it where you live. If you live in air-conditioned comfort, your food should be in air-conditioned comfort.
True.
You don't put it in your garage. You don't put it in your attic. You don't put it in your laundry room. Where it's hot and humid all the time. You don't put it in a closet where it has no air circulation or is heated or cool too much. You want to kind of keep the temperature as regular as you can because heating and cooling dramatically causes condensation on the inside of the can. And that can ruin your food. So it's really important that people realize that if you're going to live in air-conditioned comfort, your food storage should also live in air-conditioned comfort. Refrigeration is very expensive. Freezing is even more expensive. The first thing to go is lighting in a crisis. The lights go out, and your freezer starts defrosting. And now all that investment you have in your freezer has to be utilized or lost. And now you have to start cooking for the neighborhood. But not only you and everybody else, and you don't know how long it's going to last, so it's a gamble. It's a very expensive gamble if you lose. You're overfed if you don't, if you go ahead and cook the stuff and share it or use it. And it only has a slightly longer shelf life once you cook it because it's still food, veggies, meat, whatever, only has a certain amount of life in the open environment. These are things that you have to consider. That's why we used to salt cure ham. It hung on the back porch on a line or on a hook in a muslin bag, and my grandma would say, Jimmy, go out and get us give some bacon. It's my job to go out and cut off the bone, a slice of stress fat and bacon, and cut it off the ribs or wherever I got it from, and then take it in the kitchen and slice it, and she'd fry up that stuff fresh right then. You know, I mean, it wasn't fresh bacon, but it was fresh cut. So it's it's what you grow up with, is what you expect. But keeping bacon in your refrigerator, once that refrigerator gets above 50 degrees, the food is lost. So those are things for any period of time. But while it's going up, remember, it's losing its life as the temperature is rising above 40 degrees anyway. That's why they try to keep food at about 34 to 36 degrees just before freezing. So anyway, lots of stuff to learn about food storage. We do, as Proof said, about 40%, sometimes a little more in some places, but 40 to 45% of the food that we buy is wasted because we either we cook it and don't eat it, we throw it out because we cooked too much, didn't like it, wasted by cutting off the parts that could be used for food, freezing it with good intention, and then it's or cooking it with good intentions, then it's lost by bad handling. It either putrefies in the refrigerator or turns ugly in the freezer because you don't get it out in time before its shelf life. Everything has a shelf life. It's just a matter of how long it is. And that takes proper planning. That's why I really like my freeze-dry machine, because it gives me time. And being 75 years old, a 25-year shelf life, that'll get me through the best part of the rest of my life.
Well, I learned another way how to store food today, Dr. Prepper.
How's that?
I put stuff in Terrell's house. She won't know it's food.
Oh, okay.
It's called hiding in plain sight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mother used to do that. She'd get the plastic fruit, and it'd sit in the bowl forever. Then around Christmas time, she'd go buy the stuff for Christmas and put it in the bowl. Nobody ever noticed it. She'd put the plastic fruit in the sack to hide it, and the fresh fruit out there in the bowl. Nobody paid any attention to it. Walk right past it. You have to have a sense of humor in today's world.
Oh, yeah.
See, Dr. Prepper, since I grew up in a big family also, I'm the oldest of five kids, I learned how to like candies that my brothers and sisters hated. So if I saw that everyone hated black licorice, then I knew it was all mine, and I can be nice and offer, and everybody would say no, so I wouldn't feel guilty.
I see.
Oh, okay.
Sure, but you made the effort. That was the important thing, right?
Yeah.
It was a bona fide effort. Yep.
Yeah, and not many people like black licorice. It's nobody ever says it's okay. Either you like it a lot or you can't stand it.
Yeah, I like it. I like the flavor. Rich flavor.
So, Dr. Prepper, do you save anise at all, or do you make licorice, or do you do anything with black licorice flavor?
We don't do candy. It's just something that's not in our budget. It's not something we eat. We know that if we get a cake, we're going to sit there and eat it all up. If we get a bar of chocolate, say this will last for 3 days, right, more like 3 minutes. We know our weakness, and it's anything sweet. We go out occasionally. One of the nice things about living a prepared lifestyle is that you don't have to eat every meal from a can. You don't have to eat every meal out of a bottle or rehydrate it or cook it from scratch. We can go out to Chinese dim sum, or we can go out to Chinese meal, or go by Luby's, the local cafeteria, and enjoy it, because it's a delight. And it's not that we can afford a lot of that, but we do it once a week while we're out taking care of other things. We'll drop in on one of these little places, you know, it maximum $20 is what we'll spend at one, and usually a lot less, somewhere 12 to 20. But if you go get a hamburger and a drink and get the package deal, I mean, a hamburger is now $5, $6, $7, $8.
Yeah, I was telling Terrell about Five Guys. You get a Five Guys burger, it's like $5.29 or something.
No.
Yeah. I've only been once to Five Guys. Fantastic. A lot of flavor. Peanuts, the whole bit. Yeah, it was great. And able to get the accoutrements, you know, put the stuff. I went to one up in western North Carolina, up in Asheville area. It was fantastic. Went to the one here. It was a little below what I expected. But the one back east was a big, brand-new built place. The one I was in was a remodeled other place, much smaller, so it didn't have the feel, didn't have the space, it didn't have the layout. It was, a small version of the big place where they had lots of seats and peanuts and baskets and
street machines.
Yeah, speaking
about refurbished Five Guys, my wife and I, we had our first date at this restaurant, and a month later, they closed it, and 3 weeks later, there was a Five Guys there.
Mm. So it must be doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, what I found out this week, I was just doing some reading, which I do a lot of investigatory reading. I didn't realize that Subway is the largest fast food chain in America. Amazing.
What is?
Subway. Subway.
Yeah,
Subway.
It was. I don't know if it still is. I know Five Guys has been moving pretty quickly, but I don't eat Subway anymore.
Yeah, I don't go there very often. I agree. So
there's too many sodium nitrites in the sandwich meats. I can't eat like that anymore.
Yeah, I understand. Well, nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. So what else is exciting that you're doing? What did you do to prep this week for your family or last week?
Well, one of the things that I'm into is I've told the world I do detox smoothies, and I put an article up a few weeks ago in regards to eye health. And there's some fruits and spices and such that you can regain some of your eyesight if you can learn about what spices and what fruits to eat for it.
Yeah.
So I think personally, like pomegranates have certain health benefits, mangoes do. And so almost any fruit, you can read about the health elements of it. And you can nurse yourself back to health if you know what you're doing and you can read up on it and kind of study your body and see what you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a guy at my day job that took blood pressure medicine for about 20 years. And I showed him my smoothies for detoxing with high blood pressure, and within 6 months, his doctor, he stopped taking the medicine about 5.5, 6 months in to when he was doing the smoothies, and he told his doctor, and his doctor said, hey, you're perfectly in the normal range. You don't need blood pressure medicine anymore.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
So that's what important. I was going to say is when I lost my weight, I also studied eye health, and my glasses went from -425. I was pretty terrible. Now they're at a 250, and they're blurry, so I'm going to have to get a new prescription, which is a less strong prescription.
Uh-huh. Good.
So something like I would make up for eye health, I like to use a lot of apricots.
Yep.
Organic cherry juice. I like to use black grapes. And I'll throw in some pear, some apple, a plum, an orange, a half a lemon, a half a mango. I like to use dried cranberries also to throw in my smoothies. And for vegetables, I'll throw in a handful of kale, and I'll throw in some red and yellow peppers if I can. Otherwise, I'll use green, but I prefer the red or the yellow. They have more health benefits when they're more colorful.
Yeah.
And I'll throw in some cilantro, cucumbers, and carrots. And I drank about 60 ounces.
On a daily basis?
Yeah, 4 or 5 days a week, yeah. If I was to do, I rotate, so this is my eye health smoothie, and then the next day I'd do my blood pressure one, the next one I would do my diabetes one, and I was rotating, so in case I decided I wanted to get in the smoothie business, I could be educated.
Okay, that's a good business. My CPA wanted to get into the smoothie business, to start his own. He didn't want to buy a franchise. And,
right.
He along the same lines.
And I also throw in two or three various herbs, like I'll throw in eyebright, bee pollen, and I'll throw in some bilberry also for the eye health.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I wanted to do, say, something for like arthritis or something, you want to have anti-inflammatory type of herbs and vegetables and fruits in there. So I would be using a lot of ginger, for example. I've snuck in garlic a couple times, and I do use radishes sometimes in smoothies. I would also maybe substitute the plum or the pear or maybe both, and I would throw watermelon in there instead.
Yep. Amazing.
And
well,
maybe some coconut water.
I haven't gotten convinced that coconut water has, I use coconut oil in everything. Haven't gotten into the water yet. It seems to be awfully weak, but I'm sure it works. I just haven't found a brand I could really rely on.
Actually, Dr. Prepper, I found something a couple days ago I brought up yesterday for a few minutes. Do you know that there's a big thing now to within the organic community to not use regular store shampoo anymore?
Store shampoo?
Yeah, shampoo that you buy at the grocery store or China Mart or whatever, but...
Yeah, okay.
People are getting out of that, and they're using a baking soda and vinegar mix.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants to get out of that sodium lauryl sulfate, so that's one way to get out of it. And I haven't done it yet. It looks interesting. Yeah, but they were saying that if you can stop using store-bought shampoos, you might not go gray as fast because of all the chemicals you're putting in your hair.
Mm-hmm. Well, I missed that gate. I've already got it.
Hey, I'm halfway there. I understand.
But it's been, I've held off as long as I could, but I've lost control lately.
Well, I'll be 42 the next time you and I talk, so... I do have quite a bit of gray.
Oh.
I'm getting there.
I had to get a lot older. I took another 30 years before I got gray. But now it's kind of permeating. It is what it is.
Yeah, well,
right,
I'm just one step closer to getting my senior discounts, that's all.
I have to laugh. I go to places and I have to ask for a discount. I go to other places and they say, well, we didn't ask you because you didn't look old enough. I'm thinking, yeah, right. That's a great cover. That's a good cover-up. Once you messed up, is to pull that one on somebody. Well, again, it is what it is. We just try to be we just try to be graceful as we grow older, because we are going to grow older if we're lucky.
One of the things, and my dad re-influenced this over the weekend when I visited him, but a lot of the game, in my opinion, is to not be a debt slave, because you don't want to, in this, especially in this economy, but if you're not able to save money and put it in your pocket, there's no sense in having credit cards or car payments and things like that, because if you're not putting money in your pocket, there has to be a plan to save money.
Yeah. In any economy, you have to be able to save.
Right.
So, yeah, because if you can't save, then you can't progress. You can never get ahead. And there
right.
is always
and
a surplus.
And me, I've never had a car payment, but if I got a $4 an hour raise that forced me to get a new car to drive across town, what good would the $4 an hour raise do? Because all I'm doing is trading it for a car.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, most people don't understand that.
Yeah, and I just, I mean, my car is a 99 Durango. It runs just fine. When it breaks down, I'll be without a car for a few months, and whatever I can afford at the time will be what I get.
Well, I drive a 99. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, we like those last century's classics, huh?
Yeah, I have a little Ford wagon, the little whatever it was called in those days, and it's a little four-door, four-banger, has air conditioning, and, you know, it has a cloth seat, and we got it when it was not 10 years old with 6,600 miles on it, paid $8 for it. We figured we made a deal, and we've driven it now 59,000 miles.
And, not bad.
Not bad, you know. My truck is a 95 Ford, and it's a horse. And we don't drive it much because she won't drive it at all. It's huge. It's a 250 with that big engine. It'll clear intersections. You hit the gas, you got to hang on. But it's a big one, and it's a great truck with only about 65,000 miles on it. It's a 19-year-old truck.
Now, the only exception would be that if you saw this BMW that was about 57,000 and you had 50,000 and you had a job that you could pay it off within a year, I could almost justify that, because that's a car that's kind of a luxury and you might have been planning on it a long time and you're about 90% there. I can bless that. But when people are buying cars that they don't even want, like a Toyota Echo or a Ford Fiesta, nobody's waking up in the morning saying, man, I got to get that Fiesta.
True.
Man, I can't wait to get that Dodge Avenger. That Dodge Avenger just looks awesome. Nobody's saying that. So why would you put yourself in a payment plan of anywhere from 5 to 7 years, and you're going to have to maybe work two jobs just to pay for this car?
Yeah, I don't get it.
But that's the average person. That's where we're at in America.
Yeah, we can buy anything if they give us enough time to pay for it. That's the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's has ruined America. Because we all grow up in an entitlement that we can have a car as good as our neighbors if Daddy will just reach for it. Just reach, Dad. You can do that.
Right. Like I plan on working extra just to pay for something that, to me, is a show.
Well, especially when you're not proud of what you're showing. when you're not proud to be there with it. So, are you having an annual... Did we miss the annual... Freedomizer get together in Las Vegas this year? Did you know?
Oh, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I have a backup location, and I'll know within the next 2 or 3 weeks what we're doing. Okay. I've been trying to get my office together, but it looks like it's going to take a few more months than I was hoping for. Because of my 4 years of loan modification stuff, I have a, between the three credit scores, I'm averaging about a 580. And I need to average a 601 or greater to get the loan on my own. And because I don't have a credit partner, I have to go through a credit class and all this stuff. And I hope to get the money anywhere from January to April.
And this office is going to be for Freedomizer, or is it going to be for another business?
It's going to be, I'm if this building is still around, while and I think it will be, it's been vacant for a while. It's a 3,000-square-foot building with a divider halfway through. So the one half has a stage, and it's all hardwood floors. And the other side I can make as a call center and put some phones down. And I could have two completely separate things. And the guy wants $1,000 for 3,000 square feet.
Is that a good deal in
square
Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, and you're going to do same thing you're doing there at your present employer, just do it on your own, or what?
Kind of, yeah. I have some people that are interested in me running it, so
yeah.
That would give me my freedom.
Yeah. How's your boss feel about that? He's listening to the radio, and I say, wow, he says he's going to quit as soon as he can, and he's going to win competition with me. What's he going to think tomorrow morning when you show up?
It wouldn't be competition, but, yeah, I think they halfway expect it. I haven't gotten a raise in almost 7 years. And
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think they're looking forward to me leaving personally, so it wouldn't bother anybody one bit.
Well, you must be earning a lot more than the other people.
No, I wish I could say that, but no.
Yeah, it's almost something unrighteous in America where they don't take care of their people, don't take care of their employees. You'd think that would be a very high priority thing.
Well, I was telling Terrell, and I want to say we were talking about this with somebody else, or it might have been you. I remember we were discussing earlier how me being at a job 9 years, that's a hindrance now. They want people to be gone within 2 or 3 years unless you've been promoted, and that's it. Because otherwise they think you're just there for a paycheck.
Oh, a pension. But yeah, they're trying to cut that out.
Yeah, so I'm not looked at as being loyal anymore. I'm looked at as being a usurper of the system, I guess.
Or a faithful slave. I mean, you know what the...
faith doesn't mean anything anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad to me how you could be the most loyal person. I think in 9+ years I've called in sick 2 or 3 times. I've never been written up for anything, but they're motivated to dump me because I make too much and I've been there too long.
They must
if
be
I'm
able
there
to get
10
the...
years, I get 5 weeks vacation instead of my 4 weeks vacation.
I see. Yeah.
And they feel that my job is $12 an hour, not what I make. I make a lot more than that, but they feel like they can come in and get somebody that's worth a lot less.
Well, maybe they mechanize it, whatever. Yeah, I remember when Southwest Airlines went through that, they'd pay people a whole lot of money up front because getting good people was critical to their operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the minute they, yeah, and then, of course, they had to deal with the fact that the people who came on at pretty high prices were consistently getting raises, but they were able to hire people doing the same thing in a tighter job market for a whole lot less. But they couldn't roll their people back, you know, because that was their contract. And that made it really hard. That's one reason why they never sold Southwest. But then they started buying out those people, buying their contracts or doing cash settlements or urging them to retire earlier so they didn't need quite as much. But I know people here in town who retire from Southwest Airlines or USAA or some of these really large companies here in town, and they never, you know, they don't have to work, they don't have to worry. Their retirement is fantastic, kind of like being an Army colonel. You know, it's just fantastic benefit. I've always been self-employed. I got my tax statement. I don't have any income. I just have a $100,000 carry forward tax loss, which means I don't have to pay taxes, but I still have to pay Social Security or whatever. You know, those that's money. That's serious money. I'd rather have the money than the tax. Instead of having the loss, I'd much rather have the profit. But I'm not Warren Buffett, and I'm not Bill Gates. So
speaking of which, let me get your opinion of what Burger King's doing. Did you hear what they're doing?
They bought out a Canadian firm. They're going to move their operation to Canada, lower tax base. They bought out a food chain, Holton, something strange name, Horton.
Yeah,
Tom
Tim Hortons. It's a big donut chain.
Yeah, okay. But she's going to make them the third largest food service or fast food chain in the world, or in the I always thought McDonald's was number one, but not. Apparently, they're not. Pizza places seem to do. There are more pizzas sold every day than there are hamburgers, if you can imagine. So it's a big pizza market. But apparently they're not anywhere near large. There's a proliferation of them, just like hamburger places. There's several chains, and nobody owns it all. So as a result, they're getting. But that's the economic side. And this is the thing to think about so that we don't fall into the normalcy bias, which means when this is, you know, give it 2 days and it'll straighten out after things. When it goes bump in the night, when the sun rises, it'll go back to normal. Don't think so. If we didn't learn anything from Ferguson, then we were asleep at the wheel, because it shows what little it takes to turn society into chaos. Without the facts, nobody knows, but all the fomenters came in. Of course, what I noticed is that it was all quiet last night. After the funeral, everybody disappears, and the family's left with a void in their life and no friends left because they've all gone home. And now the family has to deal with what's left over. And that's a tough, tough place to be. I lost my son. I can tell you how tough it is once the funeral's over and everybody hugs you and tells you how wonderful your child was and how great it was to know him and how much you'll be missed. After 500 people tell you how badly you'll be missed, you begin to miss him really badly. And you may have held it together during the time all these people around while you're trying to be brave and face it all, but when they all go home after the funeral and you go home that night and there's no son, only memories and all the stuff around that you've now got to deal with, and there's nobody there to distract you. And I think that's what we're seeing. That's what we're going to see a lot of when the poop hits the propeller, is that all of a sudden we'll have to deal with things we never dealt with before. And those who've been expecting to be taken care of and aren't getting taken care of are going to whine. And they're going to start taking it. They're going to rise because they expect it. They didn't get it. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're scared, and they take it out on other people. And then a few people will come in. The Gaunt Rocks people will come in and try to foment them into some kind of action. Did you notice the visages or the faces of the people, the ones that have been killed? Americans have been killed in Syria, fighting for the jihad. These are people from, our lower income strata. These are people who are the people who are just unhappy, and they're taking. They're instead of blessing America with doing something positive, they're berating and demeaning us by doing something evil. With somebody who offers them a better sales pitch, because I don't know how on earth it'll ever get better in the Sharia, is it Sharia? In that
Sharia law, yeah.
Correa, I don't know how it can ever get any better than the constitutional law that we have here, because their law is not constitutional, and it's not even evangelical. It's not even religious.
No,
it's whatever they want it to be. Yeah, it's whatever they want it to be. The boss says today, you know, it's cutting off heads. Tomorrow we'll just take off their left hand or whatever. I mean, those are the kinds of things that you have to deal with. And it's a great sales pitch, because if you have nothing and you're offered a lot, you know, it's worth trying to grab the gold ring. But if you aren't offered anything, not even a job as a servant, it's a tough sell to get people to want to be Americans when everything around them is falling apart or seems to be falling apart. But that is what's going to happen to our economy when people can't get what they're expecting or don't get what they call fair. And we're not talking about justice here. We're talking about vengeance. I mean, they can hide the words any way they want, but what we're hearing is that we want blood. And right or wrong, we feel, and it's not about feeling, it's about reality. And we've been through it several times. We went through it in Watts. We've gone through it in New Orleans. We're going to go through it now. We've gone through it now in Ferguson. Next it's going to happen in Washington, D.C., is where it really ought to happen. So Congress.
Hey, I'm going to have to jump in here, Dr. Prepper. We got about 2 minutes left. I'm sure you probably want to take time to promote your book.
Well, you know, I try not to do that too much. But we do have books. Books are available right now. If you... they're 40 off. There's an event going on that allows 40 off. If you go to the to makingthebestofbasics.com and put in SOS 2014, that's SOS 2014, SOS 2014, you can get 40% off. Fantastic deal. And there's some bundle prices that are really even better. And then we go to, I'm starting on Tuesday morning, start on the 14th edition of the book. So get it now. It'll be several months before we're out with a new one. People should be getting prepared. Now is the time. It is never too late to start, but you can be too late. So we urge people to become prepared so that they don't have to disenfranchised from life by the fact that they cannot feed their family. That is our responsibility as parents. So listen to us tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Pacific for our 3-hour show. Tomorrow we'll have a fantastic brother Corin, and he is the expert on gun law. And it'll be an interesting 2-hour show. You'll be on at 6 o'clock or 4 o'clock. So thank you very much for having me tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Prepper, and thank you, Terrell, for being around. I have to get out of here. Price's Daily Download is coming up right now. So in the meantime, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I'm too negative, and I'm out.